Well, the Customs and Border Protection is looking at about $1 billion in technology contracts to compete or recompete over the next 6 months. Obviously, they're not going to get them all awarded in that time, but they're going to get them out to bids, start reviewing those bids. A lot of interest, a lot of work for industry over the next couple months. Ken Richhart is CBP's Deputy Chief Information Officer.
Well, we're going to plan on recompeting almost all of our service contracts, so there's a lot of activities that we're going to be going on. Some of our projects have been in the process of being recompeted for almost 3 years now, trying to get things out, because we're trying to change from the old type of contracts and just a time of materials to we're going to a performance-based contract. It means we had to have the metrics and capabilities of measuring what they were producing and give them the option to go on more things toward, you know, statements of objectives and trying to get to as opposed to how to do it. It means we have to change because folks are used to using SOWs and it's got to be there. You know, some of the COs and they want to be able to say, I got exactly what I asked for. The answer is I want to ask for capabilities, not how to do it. So I want to give you more innovation so that you can actually have capabilities and then propose opportunities to be more efficient.
He adds that this is not just about recompeting contracts for the sake of recompeting contracts, but updating CBP's entire IT infrastructure. For instance, Richhart says CBP has routers and switches that are 16 years old.
Wow.
They're only meant to last about 8 to 10 years.
Right.
So they're behind on the refresh. They have inefficient servers and non-standardized computer workstations.
I'm looking at lowering the cost of ownership, okay, and it's been way too expensive to maintain and manage those products. It's not just the cost of purchasing them, it's the cost of maintenance that kills me. We're looking for faster delivery and stand-up of capabilities. We're looking for scalability, availability, and supportability. It's got to have the security, got to have the high assurance and high availability. We believe in mandatory access controls. The capability has to be tied to objectives and outcomes, not just another tool or technology issues. The question is, what's the bottom line, what's it going to do? You're all going to have some proprietary things you do for your internal sauce, the secret sauce that makes things great, but your interfaces need to be open. Okay, we insist on open interfaces. I expect it to be SOA enabled so I can tie things together. It should be plug and play to make this impossible. I expect it to integrate with other products because they don't operate alone. I'm a big believer in elegant simplicity. Many of our tools and things are way too complex.
That's Ken Richhart, who is the CIO at Customs.
Deputy CIO.
Deputy CIO at Customs and Border Protection. And so you got to talk to him. Did he give you any sense as to how they're going to get this much out and when?
Yeah, as he said, a lot of the contracts have been taking 3 years to get out the door. There's a lot of frustration on the vendor side. I talked to actually one vendor at this Industry Advisory Council event today in Washington who said that CBP keeps saying soon and then nothing happens.
Yeah.
So, of course, as a good journalist that I try to be, I asked Mr. Richhart how this time is going to be different than the past.
It's taken way too long to get the capabilities out the door that we'd like to see, partially because we've had a shortfall of enough contract officers to get the job done, and they're overstressed on doing things. And you get to the last quarter, you're tired of just getting the leasing work out as opposed to doing the major changes. We've been proactively engaging with Tiffany Hickson in our chief procurement office for doing the activities. We have regular meetings with them on exchanges of the things, trying to get a better idea early on. We're going to institute capabilities working with them and with OTIA for technology acquisition capabilities, new process for doing acquisition review boards and doing better work up front to clarify the acquisition strategy and make sure the contracting officers and the program managers are all on the same sheet, and we can simplify those things and have standard documentation that we have to deal with.
Now, Richhart says vendors also shouldn't assume that just because they're the incumbent, they're going to have any advantage over other ones competing for work. Mm-hmm. He said there were a big push for small and medium-sized businesses. He actually says sometimes I like them better. And so this is going to be a whole new ballgame for CBP. The Customs Border Protection held an industry day in October. They're going to hold another one in February to really try to communicate with vendors, help them understand what's going on, how they're going to go about this. Richhart says CBP is looking at a variety of different contracts in terms of what they'll run these RFPs through, starting with DHS's own IT services contract.
We always look at Eagle first because Eagle is mandatory for consideration. We look at things. Part of the problem there, again, is Eagle doesn't really have a lot of small businesses anymore because they've all grown and been acquired on the capabilities. So we'd like to do more things with other vehicles and activities. We're also working and dealing with GSA, providing services to support our contracting offices for doing some of those capabilities. And we want to, look at best fare for the government as opposed to having to do it ourselves. So if we can leverage other vehicles, we want to do that.
Jason, I got to ask you, what was the reaction from industry? This is mostly industry audience, I'm guessing. And were they, did they expect this? Or, and some of them had to be incumbent contractors and they had to be like, hold on, what's going on here?
So it was not the, oh my God, kind of, we can't believe what's going on type of reaction, but there was a lot of interest. I mean, he had a line, you know, he stayed about an hour after he finished talking. No, a lot of that was actually me and my colleague Meg Beasley, you know, interviewing him, but there was a big line talking to him, shaking the hand, you know, explaining what they can do. So I think there's a lot of interest. I think that, again, the frustration on the vendor side is, okay, we've heard this a little bit before. We know you're going to recompete these things. Just do it already. We're ready. We want to jump in. So I think that they were hoping for some more.
If you're incumbent, you're going, go ahead, take your time.
Well, that's true too. But I think that they were waiting in some ways for that, you know, give us a timeline. What's coming first? What's your first? What, give us some procurement deadlines or some procurement, you know, timeline in terms of, okay, we're going to start with X and then go to Y and then go to Z. Hmm. He didn't give any of that. So I think that's part of that frustration. But I think that's also what they may end up giving in February when they have the industry day.
So is all of this part of a larger strategy? Are they looking to basically save money? Is that the idea here?
It's kind of twofold. They're save money, yes, but also they're trying to staff up. They're trying to hire a bunch of people. And we're going to have actually more on this later this week. Meg Beasley is going to hopefully give a report on that. But Customs and Border Protection's technology budget is down by more than $300 million over the last 2 years, including $216 million alone in 2011. In fact, Richard says CBP's overall budget has fallen on such hard times, they've actually had to take money out of from programmatic areas to pay for salaries and expenses.
We gave them about a 20% reduction last year, and we're going over another 30% reduction this year. The problem is I have to pay for my software maintenance and my hardware maintenance up front, which means I have to take a larger cut on the other support. So overall, we're taking about a 30-35% reduction in the overall contractor support this year. Part of that we're also making up by switching over to government bodies, so about 1,000 government folks. That's going to save me about $40 million a year. Right now it's saving me about $30 million so far, we found.
So Richard says one of the biggest areas of opportunity is around operations and maintenance of IT systems. Right now, CBP spends about two-thirds of their IT budget on O&M, and he'd like to see that cut down to about one-third on O&M, one-third on development and modernization, and one-third on refreshing existing technology.
Well, it gets back into modernizing your systems, making them more efficient. For example, we have a process now where we do the I-94s. You fill out a paper form, terrible process. Most folks fill it out as they're landing, you know, juggling back and forth. We take those things, send them to Kentucky. They scan them, you know, convert them, turn into digital things, and gives back the result 6 months later, and it's not very good. We're going to electronic forms now with ESTA, so I can do an electronic capability. It's much more accurate. They provide it ahead of time before the travel. The information is current. It's already been validated and vetted, and I've got it in real time, so I can get rid of that contract for doing those kind of capabilities and make those changes. Looking at then eliminating and automating more of our processes, we have less manual touches of the things. I mentioned the fact that we got over 5,400 servers, all of them hand-built, need to standardize and simplify the infrastructure, so it's not so manually intensive. We got to make more of those things.
So Richard says CBP actually has already cut 300 out of about 1,200 field technology support people through centralization and automation, for instance, of help desk and other processes. So that's another way they're going to save money. Now, there are other contractor reductions also coming as well around support services. But let me back up for a sec. Operation and maintenance is a huge IT spend across government. Too much spending on this is very common. In 2009, for instance, agencies spent about $49 billion on operation and maintenance, and this is out of about a $71 billion IT budget in 2009. And this is also one of the reasons why the Office of Management and Budget wants agencies to move to cloud computing, because it's that idea of potential cost savings. It's operation and maintenance, stuff that can kind of go on. That's why it's email. That's why it's servers. That's why it's storage. And I think that's why they see such a opportunity, not just because the technology maybe is better, but the cost.
Right. And I think this operation and management issue is going to be one of the areas that the new Congress really looks at. I was listening to C-SPAN over the weekend, and Paul Ryan, the new House Budget Committee chairman, who has really been driving a lot of the cuts, it's one of the things that he must have mentioned probably eight different times. We're going to look at operation and maintenance accounts. That's where a lot of the money is, and that's where we're going to be targeting.
And I think that's not just the systems, but people too. Do we really need 25 people to keep this program going? Can we do it with 20? Can we do it with 15? And I think IT is an easy one because of, one, the amount of money being spent on IT, almost $80 billion in 2011, but also the fact that, you know, if there's a way that we can automate certain things, automate patches, for instance, automate updates, get stuff pushed instead of pulled, put it on the cloud and let someone else handle all the day-to-day stuff, there's a lot of money that can be put toward mission.
And it'll be interesting to see if things like these cost savings, these cost real push for savings in costs, drive people to move more email to the cloud and those kinds of things. It'll be interesting to see if there's a cause and effect here.
Well, I think that with the OMB's requirement
cloud
to
write right,
cloud first, that you're going to start seeing at least some initial things in the next year.
Very nice. Federal News Radio's Jason Miller. You're going to have more tomorrow?
More tomorrow on the Federal Drive with Tom Temin and Amy Morris. And as always, federalnewsradio.com.
Federal News Radio's Jason Miller.